Kane is in the building.
Greetings, 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 fine people. Greetings and welcome to the Stamp of Approval. This is episode 3. I am Bobby Stamps, your host, and I would like to thank you for stopping by and joining me today and giving me some of your very valuable time, because I know it is valuable and I know you have a lot of choices out there, and I thoroughly appreciate you spending some time with me. And as we talk mainly sports, we'll sprinkle in a few life, social, whatever you want to call it, issues, things that are going on, hot button topics around the area, which is the greater Atlanta area, metro Atlanta, specifically north metro Atlanta area, and we'll touch on some topics that are dominating the national news and national social media platforms as well, if there's discussion going on. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. Interesting week of college football. Interesting in the fact that nothing really changed, but everybody, or not everybody, that's not fair, but a lot of the national talking heads are acting like something changed. You know, we're acting like that since Ohio State boat raced a very unathletic, slow, thin Nebraska team, as expected they would, that all of a sudden they are the new number one team in America. People are acting like Oklahoma, who has boat raced everyone as they should have, is much more highly rated than they should be. And guys, I'll offer up that we don't know anything now that we did not know a month ago or a month and a half ago from each of those teams. But now all of a sudden they've had big wins. They put up video game numbers, which is what they do, because those programs, those coaches, and yeah, I know Ryan Day is a first-year head coach at Ohio State. He was the interim guy last year when Urban Meyer was serving his suspension, but he's the first-year coach. But he's just an extension of Urban Meyer. So he's going to run the score up. The other day, for instance, Justin Fields was in the game when it was 48-0 midway through the third quarter. He should have never been in the game, but what was Day trying to do? Get him stats. Win with the quote-unquote style points is the catchphrase I hear everybody using now. And same thing, you know, Lincoln Riley, who, it didn't matter who the coach was for Oklahoma, or who the coach was at Oklahoma, even when Bob Stoops was there, the OC, who the OC was for Bob Stoops, getting a little tongue-tied there, but they were going to run the score up. That's just what they do. They want to win with style points. They want to try to, and it doesn't really matter. In the end of the year, it's all going to come out in the wash anyway. But Oklahoma, Ohio State traditionally play inferior teams in each game of their regular season. There is not one team in either conference, the Big Ten or the Big 12, that has similar athlete to Ohio State and or Oklahoma. So they should beat everybody poorly. But if they don't, no big deal. Don't jump off a bridge and say they're overrated or say they have problems. You know, it's okay for teams to play close games. Speaking of close games, Clemson, you know, people say Clemson dodged a bullet. Clemson almost lost. Is there any doubt that if North Carolina does make that two-point conversion, that Trevor Lawrence doesn't drive Clemson down the field and kick a field goal to win the game? Not really. They weren't losing that game. Okay. But people are going to take that game that Clemson played, take the game that Ohio State played, and using and ignoring everything that we know about how Ohio State traditionally plays in the regular season and how Oklahoma traditionally plays in the regular season, and even how Clemson plays. Clemson lays an egg every year. They laid an egg last year at Syracuse. They got lucky and won. Or they were at home playing Syracuse. They got lucky and won. The year before, they went to Syracuse. I think they were something like a 28, 27-point favorite. They lost the ball game. The year before that, they lost to Pittsburgh, still ended up getting the ship righted and making a run and winning the national championship. So the point is, we know what we've seen this movie before, so why are we insistent upon anointing Ohio State or Oklahoma the national champion right now just because they can beat a lot of teams that they should beat, that they are significantly better talent-wise than their opponent? It's a lot clickbait. It's a lot. There is just so much content these guys have to create. You know, they put a microphone in front of Desmond Howard and Kirk Herbstreit for hours at a time daily. They have to say something. But do they truly believe that Ohio State's the best team in the country? I just don't believe they do. They can say they do, but they're smarter than that. We've seen this movie too many times with Oklahoma. When has Oklahoma ever played one of the big boys, one of the teams that has contended for the national championship close in the playoff or in the postseason? You can give me Georgia. I will give you that if Kirby Smart and Mel Tucker, had they rushed Baker Mayfield and pressured him and let the dogs loose in the first half like they did the second half when Georgia outscored Oklahoma something like 38-13 or whatever it was, 38-14. Had they done that in the first half, that game would not have been close. And Oklahoma's big moral victory that shows they can stand up to one of the big boys in the SEC would have never been. Ohio State, same thing. They had that lucky outlier year in 2015 when they were down to their third team quarterback, Cardale Jones. Braxton Miller and T.J. Barrett had been lost to injury. Cardale Jones came in, won the Big Ten championship game, and due to the lack of film, lack of preparation Alabama was able to do for him, Alabama wasn't able to contain that offense. And credit to everyone involved at Ohio State. Not trying to take everything away. I'm just saying, even a blind squirrel finds a nut, right? What's Jay-Z say? Even a broken clock is right. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. But historically speaking, we know what Ohio State and we know what Oklahoma is in the postseason when they have to face off with an Alabama, an LSU, a Clemson, in this year's case, possibly a Georgia. Same, it's going to be the same result, bud. Same result. To Clemson's, on the topic of Clemson, though, I've had some people hit me up and say, man, you know, you were right about Clemson, about their line being a liability. And I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, I was right yet. But I think at the end of the season, I will be proven to be right. I think that Clemson's line of scrimmage, lines specifically, the offensive line of scrimmage, will be the reason that they do not make a playoff run and win the title. Again, they should make the playoffs just because there is no way they should lose a game the rest of the year. No way whatsoever. None. But I think when they get to the playoffs and face one of the big boys, I think they'll lose. I had some people hit me up and say you were right about Alabama's defense after they gave up 31 points to Ole Miss. Yep, that's the same Ole Miss that was coming off of all types of scholarship restrictions, probation, players leaving the program. And they went into Bryant-Denny and scored 31 points. Now, I get it. A lot of that was done in trash time. But still, best believe Nick Saban and crew was trying to stop Ole Miss from scoring. They did not want to give up 31 points. Alabama's defensive line is thin. They don't have a lot of depth, and they're very young. True freshman young, I mean. Two true freshmen starting. Not good in the SEC. As I mentioned last week, their linebackers are... They just don't seem like Alabama linebackers. They seem like the type of linebackers that you would see at a middle-of-the-road type of program. They just do not have the same athleticism that the linebacker that we're used to seeing in Alabama has. And I think that's a liability, and I think that will hurt Alabama down the road. be interesting to see how that happens, how that plays out. On to the overreaction is the topic of the week, it seems, to with Ohio State and Oklahoma. Let's look at the quarterbacks. Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts, Heisman front runners, 1 and 2. Georgia made a huge, huge mistake letting Fields get away. How did Georgia start Jake Fromm over Justin Fields? If you listen to a lot of, I would say the national guys, but that's a lot of local guys too. Not local guys that know what they're talking about, but people that are always trying to create a story where there's not a story. It's very simple. Georgia is in a better spot with Jake Fromm. Justin Fields is in a better spot being at Ohio State. Ohio State is better off with Justin Fields than they would have been Jake Fromm, as is Georgia. They're better off with Jake Fromm as than they would have been with Justin Fields. Teams ask their players to do different things. Okay. Jake Fromm would have been no good at Air Force running the option. Right? It's a very similar situation. Justin Fields' skill set did not fit what the University of Georgia and at the time Jim Chaney, now James Coley, asks the quarterback to do. He made a change. He went to Ohio State. He seems to be doing very well. End of story. Did you really think that Georgia was going to sit Jake Fromm, the kid who as a true freshman led them to the national championship game that he led when he left the field for the last time? Did you really think that they were going to sit him for this true freshman that had run nothing but a spread offense in high school? Now, I'll flip this around to you. People are saying he's better. I'll make you a bet right now as we speak. Let me know. Hit me up on social media. Hit me up on email, whatever you want to do. Jake Fromm will be a better pro than Justin Fields. So did Georgia make the wrong move? No, they did not. Justin Fields is in a program at Ohio State that allows quarterbacks to thrive. Does that translate to the NFL? No, it does not. Again, I know Ryan Day is coach at Ohio State. This is his first head coaching job, but I look at this Ohio State team and program as an extension of Urban Meyer. Let's go back and look at quarterbacks under Urban Meyer head coached teams. Let's go back to Bowling Green. Josh Harris, good player. Put up stupid numbers. Virtually no NFL career. I think he splashed around the CFL some. Alex Smith, there's your one. Good NFL quarterback, was the number one overall pick. Alex Smith is a great athlete, 6'4", can throw, can run. He's had a pretty good NFL career. I think given some circumstances changing, Alex Smith could have thrived. Okay, but he's the one. Chris Leak, end of story. Tim Tebow had every opportunity, was a first-round draft choice. Okay, but could not make it in the NFL. He was only in the NFL a few years. And people just figured out he can't play quarterback in this league. Braxton Miller, tremendous athlete, put up tremendous numbers at Ohio State. But before he left Ohio State, moved to wide receiver because he knew that he couldn't play quarterback in the NFL. Cardale Jones, same situation. There was talk after that Alabama national championship year that he should leave school, enter the draft. He would be a surefire first rounder, possibly the first round, the first quarterback taken. He stayed in school. He backed up JT Barrett. And I think he may be splashing around the NFL now as well. Actually, I think he is with the Chargers as a backup. The aforementioned JT Barrett. Once again, I think he is splashing around NFL camps now as well, but not making a significant impact. You get what I'm saying. Ohio State asks their quarterbacks to do different things. Different, but similar to what Paul Johnson asked quarterbacks to do at Georgia Tech. you don't develop the skills it takes to be an NFL quarterback running those offenses. You put up great numbers, both running and passing, but it just doesn't translate, guys. So you can't say Justin Fields is better. He's got a better future. Georgia made a mistake. It's just not accurate. Sometimes the best thing works out for everybody. Sometimes there is no story, but people want to create the story, right? Very similar situation with Jalen Hurts. One, Oklahoma has better players than everybody they play. In most cases, the difference in talent is vast. Okay? Jalen Hurts came from Alabama where he had lined up and won numerous big games. He had won conference championships. He won national championship. Did you really think he was going to go to Oklahoma and not go crazy? Jalen Hurts went to Oklahoma more prepared to play football and play quarterback at Oklahoma than Baker Mayfield was when he showed up at Oklahoma and than Kyler Murray was when he showed up at Oklahoma. Both those guys had very little experience playing college football. They both ended up winning Heisman. They both ended up being the first overall draft choice. You put a kid like Jalen Hurts in there who was more prepared, more physically gifted. What did you think was going to happen? What did you think was going to happen when you lined him up across from UCLA, from Texas Tech, a defense that couldn't stop a nosebleed? Exactly what's going on. He's balling out, guys. It's not a surprise. They will continue to ball out. They will continue to put up video game numbers. The only test for Ohio State and Oklahoma will be in the playoff. And that's it. That's where we are now with college football, okay? So there's not a story here. No, Ohio State is not the best team in the country. Neither is Oklahoma. Will Justin Fields or Jalen Hurts win the Heisman? Quite possibly. I called a good friend of mine in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago. Justin Fields was 20-1 to win the Heisman. I said, when you go to the sports book, I'm going to wire you money. Shh, don't tell anybody this. It's illegal. I said, I'm going to wire you money. I want you to put it on Justin Fields to win the Heisman. That's how strongly I believe Justin Fields will have a monster year. For the record, Jalen Hurts' odds were much shorter. I didn't think it was a good bet. So that's my take on that. I don't think we learned a lot this weekend. Auburn beat Mississippi State. Everybody now is thinking Auburn. They're saying Auburn's for real. Auburn's going to make a run. Hey, pump the brakes. Pump the brakes, y'all. Okay? Auburn beat Mississippi State at home. I don't care how bad they beat them. Mississippi State is the same team that lost at home to Kansas State. Enough said. End of story. Auburn looks like they may be competitive this year, okay? But let's let them beat somebody. They're going down to play Florida in the Swamp this week. Both teams are undefeated. I think the winner of this game will be the most overrated team in college football because they would have beaten nobody. I still don't think Auburn or Florida is a legit team. I think they're both top 15-ish, but the difference between top 15-ish and top 5, top 3 is immense. So let's don't take the winner of this game and say, oh, they're gonna knock whoever off. If Florida wins, oh, they're gonna make a run at Georgia. And if Auburn wins, they're gonna knock LSU or Alabama out of. No, they're not. Again, Bo Nix is playing nicely, but there's gonna come a time where Bo Nix has to win a football game against a real defense, and I'm not talking about Oregon. Just keep that in mind. Georgia goes up to Tennessee. I really think if somebody put a gun to Kirby Smart's head and said, you've got to score 100 points, that they could do it. I don't think they will. I look for this game to be very ugly. And Georgia to have a 3-score, 4-score win, something like that. I don't think it's going to be a 49-0 type of thing. Tennessee's had a week off. They're going to fix some things. They're going to figure out what they do best, and they're going to work it. The game will be closer than the experts think. I think. I'm not putting anything on it. I would discourage you to as well. just too many variables there with college kids and whose girlfriend upset him and whose girlfriend's cheating on him and who's being distracted by downtown Athens or downtown Knoxville, if the case may be. But that's another story. We can get into a little bit of wagering a little bit later on if we want to. Hot button topic of the day. I don't really want to get into this too much because it kind of gets into a lot of the political arena and the right wing or the left wing or whatever side you want to favor. But everybody's talking about the governor of California signing into law, the language that they can pay college athletes can be paid for their name and likeness and things like that by companies for endorsements. The NCAA is obviously up in arms, as are the schools in the other 49 states. It's not going to happen, y'all, okay? It's just not. And it shouldn't happen. I've been very vocal about this. I've been on, I don't know if you've heard me on the two previous podcasts, the Team EP podcast, the Monster and the Man podcast. College athletes do get paid for one, okay? They do get paid. I'll just be dead honest with you guys. Being from Athens, Georgia, I knew hundreds of college athletes. Let's just cut through the chase here. We're not talking about college athletes. We're talking about Division I college football players and basketball players. That's it. Because no one else generates income. Then therein lies a lot of the problem. We're talking football and basketball. I can honestly sit here and tell you, I never once saw a college football player or a college basketball player going hungry, being without, not dressed as well as they wanted to be dressed. They are getting paid. There is in case you've been sleeping under a rock, for the past few years, they've been allowed a stipend. And the stipend is pretty good. It's better than what they'd be making at a part-time job. Okay? Then based on your family income, you can qualify for more help. You get clothing allowances. You get food allowances because the dining halls aren't open at each meal on weekends and whatnot. You get housing allowances. But they want to be paid the maximum dollar for their name and likeness. It won't happen, and it shouldn't happen. People say the argument for is that, well, these kids are packing the stadiums. No, they're not. These kids aren't. The university team is. The university team has been packing that stadium since well before these kids' great-grandparents were born. They will be packing those stadiums after these kids' great-grandchildren are dead. Okay, so you should not pay for allow someone to capitalize on his name and likeness using the platform of the university. Let's not forget what came first here now. Dear old you was here. Dear old you was thriving. I liken it to this. Let me put it in simple terms for you. There's a couple of simple terms. Kid gets job at McDonald's. Let's just say McDonald's is a popular restaurant. We all know what McDonald's is. We're all familiar with it. We want a sausage biscuit in the morning. We go into McDonald's and we see said kid there at the cash register at McDonald's. Now, I have come into McDonald's for a sausage biscuit, and this kid is there in front of me. Would McDonald's let this kid look at me and say, "Hey, sir, I have this specific talent. I want you to pay me for my talent while I'm here at McDonald's doing a job on their property using their brand to attract you?" No, they wouldn't. Can't do it. It's the same thing. These kids are on university campuses wearing the university colors, performing in front of thousands of fans that the university has brought in. And so you can't capitalize on your likeness. Same situation. Do you think that ESPN, we're talking college football, everybody knows the show Game Day. Do you think ESPN would allow Kirk Herbstreit, Maria Taylor, little Davey Pollock to hawk another product or to quote-unquote capitalize on their name and likeness while they are on the Game Day production? No, they would not. You don't understand, guys. If you're using the platform of someone else, another company, another individual, whatever the case may be, you can't use that to personal gain, to acquire personal gain, okay? You just can't. And that's what's at the root of the issue with kids being paid for their name and likeness. Because they wouldn't be paid for their name and likeness. Some big booster would say, okay, I'll give this 17-year-old kid $1 million for his name and likeness. To do what? To go to this school so I can capitalize off him being at said school. It's not going to happen. At what point would the kid be expected to wear a sticker of Ed's Used Cars, per se, on the back of his helmet? Could you see that? Yeah, that's where it's going. I'll give you another simple argument. Or not argument, just a point. It's not an argument. And I don't know if you're aware. Colleges, this is the college and university business plan, okay? They've been doing it forever. Whether it's athletics, whether it's inventions that they own patents to, colleges provide a space and the resources for students to work at their craft and create and to gain knowledge so that when they leave the university and go to the public and get a job and start to apply their craft, that they'll be more prepared. The flip side is, you know, as a student, that if you create something on said university's property using their resources, using their labs or whatever the case may be, using their money at the end of the day, that the university is going to be entitled to it. Differing percentages. One of the greatest university stars the world has ever known, Robert Vince. You guys know Robert Vince? What sport did Robert Vince play? Okay, don't think about that. He didn't play a sport. Robert Vince invented a treatment for HIV while at the University of Minnesota. Now, if we should pay the players and allow players to capitalize off their name and likeness, then we should also say that Robert Vince should be entitled to every dime that he made from his invention, correct? Well, no. He knew going in that the University of Minnesota would be entitled to a lion's share of what he created to the tune of $600 million. Okay? I've mentioned this again once before on previous podcasts, and I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, but I'm assuming that there are people that didn't hear those. And now that we're on the topic, based on the governor of California signing the bill into law, the Gatorade may be the most famous patent issue possibly in American history. Actually over 50 years ago now, guys at the University of Florida, upon being asked by someone, maybe the trainer for the football team or the coach or somebody, created a drink to help keep the players fresh and replenish their fluids. And they basically got a concoction and they put the nutrients that's turned into Gatorade and they made it and they called it Gatorade. Okay. But what did Florida do? They ended up getting an ugly legal battle. They sued. But long story short, the University of Florida has made $281 million off of Gatorade. After everybody sued everybody, The creators got 80%. The University of Florida got 20%. You could make an argument that the University of Florida shouldn't be entitled to anything because no one from the university that was getting paid did anything to help create the drink. But it was done on their property using their material, their equipment. And therefore they are. Another situation, everybody knows Google. You know, Stanford University has made $336 million off of Google. Yeah, because the guys created the idea and what ultimately became Google, the idea of a search engine while at Stanford using Stanford's gear and equipment and resources and whatnot. So it's not just athletics, okay? Everyone, if you want to say is being manipulated and used, then everyone is being manipulated and used by our university system, okay? It's not just the athletes. And let's go back to the argument that I've always had. You should be able to make, first off, you know me. You know that what I tell you every show, I am a champion for small business, which means I am very pro-capitalism. I am pro a man or woman being able to make the maximum amount of money he or she can, assuming they're not hurting someone, stealing from someone, breaking the law, whatever the case may be. But breaking the law, breaking the rules, going against rules. Colleges and universities say, the NCAA says, yes, you can, they don't care what you do. You can go and do whatever you want to do. You just can't sign and play and be a part of a university sports team and go out and make all the money you can because you're part of a bigger picture that involves hundreds of thousands of people at the end of the day. So when the colleges and universities set their rules in place, if you don't want to follow their rules, you don't have to. Some kids are going to Europe to play basketball or going to Asia, and they're getting paid. God bless them. If a kid wants to do that, he can do it. I had the argument from one of my closest friends. I met him a long time ago in the music business, and he's a phenomenal man. Monster Lung, Eric Jordan, he and I had a discussion and he said, well, Bobby, a lot of these kids don't feel like they have a choice. That just doesn't apply. The rules are the rules, whether you have a choice or not. You know, I've heard that a lot of people go to the army because they feel like they didn't have a choice, another life step. Well, you always have choices. You may tell yourself you don't, but you always have choices. If you don't want to follow the rules at a college or university and be a part of their sports team, then don't go. You don't have to go. You don't. And I don't want to hear that they don't have choices. It's not an applicable argument here, okay? So let's just move on down the road from that. Sorry for getting on my soapbox, but that California pay-to-play or pay for your name and likeness deal has been all over the news and all over sports talk. And it's people are wondering, how it's going to affect the NCAA? And is everyone going to start doing it? Or are all the top athletes going to go to California? Guys, it's not going to happen. It's just not. This is just another, I don't curse on here because I know my kid listens. I know your kids are probably listening, but it's those people that signed that bill in law are bat crap crazy. Okay. They're the same people that wanted to, or didn't, they didn't want to, they did, outlaw plastic straws. However you go out there and you look in their streets and beaches and there's literally trash piled up 10 feet tall. I know I have several friends in California, but the fact is California, specifically Hollywood, LA, and the Bay Area is just backwards. It just is. I wouldn't get into, I'm not going to get too, I don't want to go down this path, but you know, pro tip, we don't want to do, if California says do something, you want to go the other way. That state is admittedly now, admittedly, $1.3 trillion, and that's trillion with a T. That's a big number, in debt. People that are in the know say that number is closer to $2.3 billion, but $2.3 trillion, rather. $1.3 trillion is what the state admits their debt is. And they want to give free health care to everyone, costing the state another $400 billion per year. So if California says do something, I'm going the other way, guys. Everybody, I'm not going to say everybody, that's an exaggeration, but a lot of people that I know moved from California right over the state line into Nevada to get away from that 13%+ state tax on income and almost 10% sales tax. So you think what they say in California seems like a good idea now? Yeah, I know. Definitely didn't mean to get off on that tangent, but want to get into a little bit of baseball. We got the baseball playoffs are starting this week. The Braves obviously won the division going away. They will play the Cardinals. I think I saw they play them Friday, depending the outcome of the play-in game tomorrow between the Nats and the Brewers. I would like to think that the Braves could pick back up to where they were a couple of weeks ago. But the it scares me that they it's kind of a gift and a curse, you know, having that big lead and being able to slow everybody down, get them some rest, you know, rest your pitchers, get some guys work. You know, when you flip the switch or you flip it off, you know, it's sometimes hard to turn it back on. And I'm wondering if the Braves will have a problem when the playoffs start, I think Thursday now is what I said, against the Cardinals. Will they be able to step right in and play playoff baseball at that intensity needed? Will they be sharp? Will the hitters be sharp against major league pitching? The Cardinals had to grind going literally the last game of the season. Sunday, the outcome of the division was still in doubt. The Cardinals had to battle. So they've been on razor's edge all year long. And when Thursday comes, they will be on razor's edge. The Braves have had it shut down. When Thursday comes, the Braves would have had it shut down about 2.5 weeks. I'm kind of concerned about that. We just have to assume that, given what we know, we have to assume that they will be able to flip it back on. You know, Ozzie Albies has been incredibly hot the last 30 days, hitting over 340, hitting 340. He's had 5 home runs. Acuna seems to be getting back on track. Freddie Freeman, enough said. Josh Donaldson's really come on the last half of the year, hit a lot of bombs between Freddie, Ronald Acuna, Josh Donaldson. A lot of home runs there. Freddie had 38, Acuna had 41, Donaldson had 37. Many of Donaldson's, as I said, were hit the latter part of the year. Pitching staff, Folton Avitz says, you know, he's turned it around, y'all. He's 4-1 the last 5 starts with a 1.50 ERA, 1.5. That's strong. He's got his swagger back. If he can just maintain that confidence. Like I said, the only person that doubts Mike Folton Avitz, and I really think the only person in America is Mike Folton Avitz. If he can continue to defeat himself, he's going to give the Braves a chance to win, because he can possibly be that shutdown guy. Mike Soroka's thrown well on the road. I look for him to go game 3. He's 7-1. Away from home with a 1.35 ERA away from home. I don't know what it is about being away that he likes, but hey, let's roll with it. This will be a big test for Brian Snitker. Playoff baseball, as we know, and as Braves fans know maybe a little too well from all the division championships, but the lack of playoff wins and world championships, playoff baseball is a different game than the 162-game season. So we have to hope that Snitker Last year, we had a very small sample size with Brian Snicker, just the Dodger series. And you know, we were outmanned in that series. There's just no doubt about it. And unfortunately, when we face the Dodgers this year, if we do, we will be outmanned. If we get past St. Louis, as I mentioned on a previous show, if the Nationals can get past the Brewers and can make it to L.A., that may be interesting. The Nationals pitching staff can be nasty when they get going, if they can get the bats going a little bit. Kershaw has had postseason struggles, which is just mind-blowing anyway when you look at the physical specimen that Clayton Kershaw is the rest of the year. But if Kershaw struggles in the postseason, possibly Ryu feels a little bit of pressure, Walker Buehler feels a little bit of pressure, it could get interesting. So it'll be interesting to see how Snicker can manage this team now in the playoffs. Every decision becomes magnified. Every mistake is magnified. So we'll sit back and see how the Braves can do in this postseason. But regardless, incredible accomplishment just to make the postseason. Again, this team shouldn't be here. I think we're a couple of years, a year or so, maybe two, ahead of schedule. Got tons of young talent coming up. I mean, what am I saying? We got tons of young talent here. I mean, Ronald Acuna, is he even 21 yet? Is Ozzie Albies 21, 22? And these guys are just tearing it up. Ronald Acuna is very close to being the best player in baseball. And he's 21, and we got him here in Atlanta for a long time. Kudos to AA Alex Anthopoulos for signing him up long term. Applaud Alex Anthopoulos. Well, guys, I'm going to get out of here. As I said, I thoroughly appreciate you spending your time with me. We'll be back ASAP. We'll be back soon with some more sports chatter. Hopefully, we won't get too much into societal issues. I know you don't want to listen to that. If you did, you can get on social media. Or on CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, ESPN, and get all of that you want and get yourself depressed. Let me also, you know it's coming, and I have to shout out my sponsor, Pickers Vodka, Davidson's Reserve Tennessee Whiskey. Top-notch stuff, y'all, trust me. I actually had a listener, one of my parents that kid plays on Powell's football team, my son, caught me and said, "Hey man, you weren't lying about that Pickers vodka. That's some good stuff." And I said, "Well, yeah, it is. I agree." And they said, I got some. Real good deal, man. I like that." So, guys, I appreciate you spending your time with me. We'll catch up with you for the Stamp of Approval, Episode 4. And I'm looking forward to that. I hope you and your families are well. A lot of you guys I know are on break this week. Hope you have a nice, fun, relaxing, and most importantly, a safe fall break. And I'm looking forward to catching up with you for Episode 4. If you were looking for Falcons talk, you're not getting it here. The Falcons are done. As I said last week, I have nothing to add. And I do mean nothing. So we'll see you guys for Episode 4. Thanks so much. Holler at me on social media if you have any comments or questions or just agree or disagree. And we'll catch back up with you soon. You guys have a good one. I'm out of here. Stamp of Approval, Episode 3 is in the books. Many a day has passed, the night has gone by, but still I find the time to put that bomb off in your eye. Total chaos, but these playoffs thought we was absent. We're taking another route to represent the Dungeon family like Ray Day. Me and my decide to take the back way. We stabbing every city, then we headed to that back cave. ATL, Georgia, what do we do? Fall ya, bulldogging. Like them Georgetown Hawkins. Boy, you signed the silly thing. My room is sitting pretty. Doing donuts while you suckers like them suckers around titties. Damn, we the committee. Gonna burn it down. Hey, yeah, you. You like comic books, anime, and stuff? Sure you do. Who the hell doesn't? And that's why you should listen to a podcast called Fresh. It's like audio cliff notes of ancient texts, painstakingly translated by us for you. So do yourself a favor. Like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Trust me. We're everywhere. So don't forget, it's a podcast called Fresh on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Anchor FM, and anywhere podcasts are casted.
What kind of forever?
Look, I don't have much time, all right? So let me just say something real quick. My name is EG, and I am the host of two shows that are part of the Hyphen Podcast Group. The first show is called Catch the Show. It's a show where I talk about music-related news and pop culture, upcoming tours that you may want to catch shows of, and I tell you about a show that I call it, because it's the number one concert review podcast in the world, and I've reviewed shows from Beyonce to Kendrick Lamar to even the Backstreet Boys. So yeah, that's Catch the Show. The other show is called The Underground Monster. Slightly different kind of show, but still music-related. It's where I cover basically underground independent hip-hop, horrorcore, and the juggalo culture. So yeah, if you're interested in either one, go to hyphenpodcastgroup.com and or go to your favorite podcast platform and just search for them and hit that subscribe button, okay? Got that? Cool. Now let's get you back to the show you were originally listening to.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and comment. This has been a Hyphen Podcast Network production.
They're the bestest. I'm getting paid an exposure.